Well, grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is Acts chapter 6 and 7, and I'm going off course this morning. Now, sometimes, on rare occasions, I'll pick a different text, and this morning I decided to examine the martyrdom of St. Stephen. And so just let me read part of the text. Now, Stephen is on trial. He's on trial for believing in Jesus, and he preaches this sermon to a whole court. And so he's in court, and he preaches this sermon to the Jewish leaders. How stubborn you are, Stephen went on to say. How heathen your hearts. How deaf you are to God's message. You're just like our ancestors. You too have always resisted the Holy Spirit. As members of the council listened to Stephen, they became furious. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and he saw God's glory and Jesus standing at the right side of God. Look, he said, I see heaven opened and the Son of Man standing at the right side of God. They threw Stephen out of the city and stoned him. As he called out to the Lord, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, Lord, do not remember this sin against them. He said this and then he died. Dear friends of Christ, we celebrate St. Stephen the martyr on December 26th, the day after Christmas. And I'm sure you missed this observance. So since we didn't have church on Tuesday, I thought, well, let's do it here on Sunday. And because the text of Jesus being presented in the temple is a wonderful text, and yet I thought this was a different direction that I wanted to go. Now, the story is from Acts, of Stephen's life and death. And as we read it, we find out, I'm not going to read all the both chapters, but we find out that Stephen's life didn't end out so well. It didn't go well for our brother Stephen. Now, remember, the Church of God was in her infancy. Christianity was new. And things immediately went horribly wrong. Jesus had recently been crucified. The good news, Jesus had risen. There was hope. And the Christian church, the community of believers, were ecstatic. Their sins were forgiven. There was hope. Jesus is alive. And in what powerful ways now was God going to lead his church? How, with his powerful resurrected Christ, lead his church to victory? Well, they'd soon find out. And it wasn't going to go well. Things would not be easy for Christians or for God's church because the enemy, Satan, and his army of rebels not only wanted Christ dead, they want God's church dead. So we celebrate St. Stephen the martyr this morning. And commemorating this event this close to Christmas seems wrong. And yet this is a tradition of having it the day after Christmas. It's a tragic death. It was a murder, actually. A wonderful Christian man, and it darkens the spirit of Christmas, and it gives us a jarring transition. You've got the white of Christ. This is a joyful day, a cheerful day, a day of birth, a day of resurrection. And then you've got St. Stephen. It's a red day. A blood red day. And so I wear the proper paraments for that. And you thought it was a mistake. It isn't. So we're supposed to be in a joyful mood, but instead we celebrate and commemorate a martyr. Now, this tradition is as old as Christmas itself in the church. Now, you wonder, well, when did the church start celebrating Christmas? Well, around 4th century AD. So about 1600 years ago, 1700 years ago, the church met and decided we'd celebrate Christ's birth on December 25th. At the same time, they decided, they put on the calendar the martyrdom of St. Stephen on December 26th, the next day. Why? It's intentional. And again, it's no accident placing Christmas and the martyrdom of Stephen right next to each other on the church's worship calendar was the church's way of ensuring that we don't romanticize all this, and it's all about happiness, and it's all about a little baby, and it's all about a couple who are poor, and it's all about a manger and the angels and the animals and the starry sky and all of that. Commemorating the death of Stephen gives us a direct correlation, a direct connection, the birth of Jesus and a Savior born to die. The birth and death of Christ go together. In order to be our Savior, the body of Jesus had to die. And He was born to die for the sin of the world. There's a correlation, a direct correlation. We, the church, are the body of Christ. And we're born. And we're going to die. Christ died and rose, and we die. And one day we will rise. It's all intentional. And it's by design. And so our theme for this morning, the manger and the martyr. The manger and the martyr. They go together. This martyrdom teaches us a little bit about Christmas. What do the words of John mean? When speaking of Jesus, he says, the Word became flesh and made his and tabernacled among us, tented among us. You know, that Old Testament image of the temple and the tabernacle, right? And God lived among his people and God dwelled among his people each and every day, fire by night and a cloud by day over the temple. God was dwelt in the Holy of Holies and he lived with his people. And now God dwells with us. The body of Christ has come. And his body now joins our body. And after his resurrection, we are his temple. We're the tabernacle. We're his dwelling. And so his body dies. And now Stephen, who is also the body of Christ, dies. Christ's body is born. And then he's persecuted and he's beaten and he suffers and he dies. Stephen, the body of Christ, after Christmas, is also beaten and persecuted and suffers and dies. So, what does Stephen's death show us? The truth that this miraculous birth of Christ on Christmas did not suddenly make everything all right. And you know that very well in your own lives, right? It didn't magically erase all your burdens. It didn't magically make all the difficult things go away. We still see the struggle of faith in life play itself out, and we see it in Stephen's life. Difficult stuff. Now, who was Stephen? Well, he was a member of the very first church in Jerusalem, the very first Christian church. Jesus had just ascended into heaven. And the church was growing, and the believers gathered together every single day, and they would gather together to pray, and they'd gather together to hear the teachings of the apostles. Every day, they would gather together to have the Lord's Supper every single day, worship service every single day, learning about God every single day, not just once a week. And the church grew rapidly by thousands a day sometimes. And things were going well. And yet they weren't. There were problems in the young church. This infant church had believers that were fighting with each other. Because they had decided that they were going to take care of one another. And so they had a collection for the poor. A food collection. And they fed the poor people. And so they would get together and then there was fighting. The people disagreed on how to help the poor. Some people felt that they'd been left out. Some people felt they didn't get enough food at the food collection. Some people felt that the widows had been ignored and didn't get their fair share. You say, well, what does this all have to do with Stephen? Well, he was put in charge of it all. He was put in charge to fix the problem. Now, Stephen was not a pastor. Stephen was not an apostle. He was a layperson like you. He was just part of the body of Christ who wanted to fix a problem and serve the body of Christ because he loved the body of Christ. He loved the people of God. He followed the first commandment, love God, love the people. He was just being a faithful guy. And so Stephen faithfully sets aside to fix this whole mess with a great heart to help the church. And we have people like that today, people who step forward, lay people, to help the church. And they make things happen here that I can't do. And I can tell you that if it weren't for our blessed lay people, this church would come to a screeching halt quickly. I'm not joking. Everything would stop. We need the body of Christ. And Stephen was a layperson, a faithful layperson, like the ones that are here, serving God with joyful hearts because they love the body of Christ, because they love the church. They love God's church as with all its imperfections. And Stephen knew the people were fighting. He knew that rotten things were happening. But he stepped forward to be the solution rather than the problem. Again, thank God for those saints who step up to their calling the way Stephen did. He was a man of strong character and faith. He boldly served. He was a brave man. He served where other people didn't want to. Why? Because he loved the Lord. And that commitment, that devotion to Jesus, eventually spelled his doom. That's what he died of. He died of the problem. He's devoted to Jesus. Stephen was a lay person, but that didn't stop him about talking about Jesus, and he spoke the truth in love. He told people about Jesus whether it hurt or not. And sometimes when you hear the word of God, it hurts. And so because of his bold confession of Christ that got him arrested, and he was put on trial. And before the whole Jewish leaders, Stephen gave a strong sermon of condemnation to the court. How stubborn you are. How heathen your hearts. How deaf you are to God's message. You've always resisted the Holy Spirit. Now it's worth noting that the Greek word for martyr simply means witness, and that's what Stephen was doing. Stephen was a witness. He was letting people see who lived in him. He was the body of Christ. And he let the body of Christ be seen, the message of Christ be seen. And he preached Jesus no matter the cost. And he reminded the court about Israel's history, how God had always been with them, how God had guided them through Israel, how he had parted the Red Sea, how he led them in the wilderness. And when he was in the wilderness, he was with them in the tabernacle. In the Holy of Holies, God was always present with his people, with his promises. Always, always there. And then he says, but now it all changes and he ties it all to Christmas. God is still with us, he says. His name is Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. And what did they do to God, the Emmanuel? They killed him. And Stephen testified, the Lord Most High does not dwell in houses, in tabernacles, in tents made by human hands. Stephen testified, our God Most High now dwells in human flesh. Let that sink in. Our God now dwells in human flesh. Of course, those words got him killed. The Sanhedrin immediately plotted. They killed decided that they were going to stone him to death for speaking the truth. What does it mean for Christmas? Well, it means we live our lives for Christ no matter the cost. We hear his word. We obey his word. We don't judge God's word as other Christians do. We let God's word judge us. We submit to the word of God. It's above us. God is above us. Whatever he decides and however he preaches to us, it's his ways. And we seek salvation in the body of the one who came, who was born to save us from our sins. You see, Christmas, this is God's answer. A body given to save bodies in sin. To save sinners who live in a sin-filled world. So are things perfect here? Oh, far from it. But we have a Savior who bore all the imperfections of our church, all the imperfections of our sinful flesh, and bound it to his flesh. And for Stephen, that meant something. For Stephen, that meant when he breathed his last, he was going to open up his eyes and see Jesus. That when he died, he'd be welcomed in the presence of Jesus for all eternity, forgiven and cleansed. And Stephen was martyred for the Christian faith. And we commemorate his martyr during these 12 days of Christmas. There's 12 days after Christmas, a joyful time, right? Why? Because Christmas is the promise of the saints. The body came. The body was born. God became human flesh. In human flesh he suffered and died. In human flesh he rose to save sinners in our human flesh. The anger of the world against such a message exists today. The anger of the Sanhedrin railed against Stephen. And it still raves against the church today. This fiery fury of Satan's opposition rails against the truth and wants to silence it. But it can't ever win. It will not win. The opposition killed Stephen. However, before he died, God gave him an incredible vision. Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw God's glory. He saw Jesus. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened. I see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power of God." The manger and the martyr. I see the heavens opened. You know, we see that too. The heavens opened and God came down. The heavens opened on Christmas Day and God came down. He came down to be one of us. And we see the heavens opened as the angels proclaimed his birth. The mission that began at the manger. The mission that ended at the cross. And the mission that was accomplished in the empty tomb is our salvation. Heaven sent Jesus. And yet we still live under the curse and the result of our sin. There's still the brokenness. There's still persecution and death of the saints. But it can't hurt us. It can't hurt us. It can't harm us. Because Christ's coming gives us hope. Is there suffering, death, sickness, persecution? Yes. Do we live under the curse of sin? Yes. Are all these things difficult? Yes. However, Jesus has come. And that changes everything. He comes to give us hope. And one day our eyes will close in death, and when they do, we're going to see the same thing that Stephen saw as he saw heaven opened up. And we will see heaven's glory, and one day with our own eyes, we will see God in his own flesh sitting on his throne, the power of God at God's right hand. We will see him with our own eyes. And think about all the Christians who have already departed this life, all the martyrs, but also all your loved ones. They now live in peace. Their souls are in safety with Christ, waiting for his return and the resurrection of all flesh and victory. Christmas is the presence of Christ. Heaven has been opened to us. And there is no greater Christmas than being able to see Jesus face to face. May God grant you the faith to live in that certainty, in the certainty of God's promises. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.